Welcome back to The Overshare with me, Gemma Atkinson. This is our safe space coming together, oversharing parts of our life. And this week, I'm guessing it may be another one of those episodes where, not unlike our Better Body Confidence ep, we're all leaving hugely influenced and motivated to make changes. Up until a few years ago, we'd not really heard of the expression side hustle. But now it seems to be everywhere, doesn't it? It's not just on Dragon's Den. We hear people bravely taking the plunge and going out on their own, turning a hobby into a pay packet quite often. So we asked for side hustles for this episode. We wanted to share how you turned your idea into an income. And for this episode, once again, we're joined by multi-award-winning financial expert Claire Barrett. Welcome back. Hear from side hustles all the time, hustlers who have made it.
Yes, I mean, it used to be called starting a business. And then we came up with this phrase, the side hustle. And like, I think it's fantastic. And I think the pandemic really taught us that having different income streams, so you might have a job, but then you've got something on the side, maybe it's dog walking or filling in surveys. Lots of people do that. Of course, the most popular one, selling our secondhand stuff online. All kinds of different things to bear in mind. Sometimes the hustle can turn into a bit of a hassle, I have to say.
Like that, yeah.
Is it worth it? What are you getting out of it? Sometimes it's not about money. It's about experience. It's about changing your career direction, maybe trying out something to see if you like it before taking the plunge and either making it into your main hustle or thinking, well, that was fun, but actually having it as a hobby and something that I do for fun and enjoyment rather than trying to make money.
Can I make a living out of it?
Probably a better idea.
Well, let's get to the bottom of all these stories. Let's meet these brave souls who are doing what perhaps we'd all love to be doing if we were brave enough. Here are our side hustles on Overshare.
And then one day I gave myself a shake and I thought, do you know what? You're interested in this. Like, what's the worst that can happen?
I vividly remember my dad saying to me, you need to get a job. And I just remember feeling so passionate about it. And I don't feel like I've worked for 11 years because I just love it.
You got thrice hustles.
A thrice hustle.
A thrice hustle.
I've never heard anyone say that before. Copyright it immediately.
One day I was scrolling on TikTok and I saw this girl pop up who was talking about how much money she was earning on a platform called OnlyFans. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it. So I started an account and the first month I made about $9,000 to now earning over $200,000 a month.
Setting up this episode, we had lots of stories from people with incredible side hustles, but there weren't many quite as brave as our next oversharer, who left a massive job in the emergency services, and it was a massive risk. And it was only a few weeks ago. Hiya, Caitlin. First of all, what were you thinking?
I can't believe this is my life, first of all. 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was still in the emergency services, and today I am sitting in Spain running my business online from the sunshine because I said yes to my side hustle.
Brilliant. And your side hustle was a travel agency working alongside the emergency services full time. So I'm assuming you were exhausted. You need a holiday by the sounds of it yourself.
I basically came across it online. And I heard this girl saying, you know, you can make money from booking travel and you can do it from like the comfort of your own home. You can do it from your phone. And being skeptical, I was like, nah, it must be a scam. Like, there's no way. That sounds too good to be true. But it caught my attention and I was like, I love my holidays. Who doesn't love their holidays? Like, I'm quite good at planning holidays. So I watched it and watched it and watched it for months. And then one day I gave myself a shake and I thought, do you know what? You're interested in this. Like, what's the worst that can happen? So I gave it a go is what happened. And then, basically I became an independent travel agent. So I book holidays for, it just started off for myself and then booked for like my mum, my brother, my friends. And then I really seen the potential to turn it into a business. I don't think I actually realised when I signed up what I was signing up for. I was just like, I'll give that a go. Some extra pennies. And then basically from there, got permission from my employer, set up a social media and started advertising online and just learning as I go. And then, from there, it's just kind of spiraled a year and a half of working it alongside my job Very stressful, very tired, very busy, a million and one things going on. But here we are. I've managed to get in a position where I'm now doing it full time, which is super exciting.
What I like about Caitlin is that she juggled the two for a sufficient amount of time before taking the plunge full time. What advice would you give to anyone thinking of doing the same? Is it to make sure you have security in the job that's been paying you all these years before jumping ship?
The three words that Caitlin said that were the most important: permission from employer.
Right.
Now, a lot of employers, even if you work part-time, doesn't necessarily have to be full-time, will have restrictions in your contract of employment about what you can and cannot do. And it might be you can't do any form of freelance work without the approval of your line manager. It might be that there's a formal way to ask for permission in your organisation. It might be that you can do some things but not others. Say if you worked for a travel agency and you said, can I have a side hustle being a personal travel agent? They might say, well, no, that's a conflict of interest because people could be coming through the main doors, dealing with you as a customer, and then you could take them off as a customer for your business. I mean, these are some of the scenarios that could potentially entail. So permission from employer, looking at your contract of employment, because ultimately if they find out about your side hustle and you haven't been honest about it or you haven't followed the rules, then you could put your main hustle in peril. You know, they could say, right, gross misconduct or disciplinary proceedings, and things could come to an end. But also the fact that you did this alongside your job, that's great because you can work out, actually, is it a hassle or a hustle?
Yeah.
Can I actually make any money out of this? Because travel, holidays, obviously people really value their 2 weeks in the sun. They want it to be well organised. They want to make the most of it. But we also want to get the cheapest deal. May I ask, Caitlin, if I may be so bold, in terms of the money that you are able to make, how does it compare to your previous career?
That is obviously number one that was on my head. I was like, I earn, you know, over £50,000 a year and a stable job where I've got paid sick leave, a pension. I think people are still looking at me going, what is she doing? But I think that's the thing. It's being sensible about it. Like for me, I thought, right, I know I have to have X amount of money saved up because, you know, if something happens and I don't, you know, perhaps book any travel or something happens, you know, COVID could happen again and no one's going on holiday, I need to know that I've got enough money sitting in the bank to support me.
Could you go back to your other job if you wanted? Is it a case of you said to your employee, this is happening, and have they left the door open for you, or is it a case of that's it now?
Yeah, so I had personally, me, I chose to take a career break, which means that I can go back. So again, it was like sensible head on, Caitlin, like it's nice to have that comfort blanket, which I appreciate not everyone can have.
I mean, I'm kind of, when I do like risk assessments with my accountant, he says I'm very, very low risk. I'm very like kind of, oh no. But I also have on one shoulder, it's better to say, oh well, than what if.
Mm.
And especially when it comes to a passion of like, you clearly love booking holidays. You clearly love helping people go on holiday. And it's kind of the fact that you've got that security behind you. You can go back if you want. For me, is a no-brainer what you've done. If you didn't have those security blankets, I would then be thinking, oh no.
Mm.
But the fact that it's there, should you want to or need to, I think you'd be silly not to try doing what you love.
And it's great that you do have that security blanket, but also anyone who's listening or watching and thinking, well, actually, I've got this side hustle and it's inspired me to go and work in a completely different industry. You don't have to set up on your own and do your own business. You could maybe use the side hustle to show I'm building up expertise. Maybe I've done a course, I've got skills, and then you could apply for jobs. Like, you know, if you didn't make this business work out, you don't necessarily have to go back to the emergency services. You could say, well, I want to build my career in the travel sector. My business may have failed. I hope it doesn't. But even if something fails, you learn a lot of lessons from what went wrong. It's wonderful that you have been able to follow your dream and that you're aware of the bigger financial questions, and that you know what you're giving up. Because I think for most self-employed people, one of the hardest things financially is obviously having an irregular income. You know, some months you might do well, other months you might not do so well. So you need a bigger kind of cash buffer to allow for unforeseen expenses, as you've said. And the other thing that many, many self-employed people never have, sadly, is a pension, because locking away money for retirement is not very flexible. And often if you're self-employed, it can be really hand to mouth.
Well, Caitlin, we're all about supporting local or new or small businesses. So give us a shout out. What is your travel company called for anyone who wants to go on holiday this summer?
My business is called Always, Always Travel.
Congrats with it all, Caitlin. And I hope it does really well for you.
Thank you so much.
Now, Lucy, you are the only person who messaged in who does what you do. So let's build up to what your hustle is. Let's go back to the beginning. How did you end up creating this business for yourself?
So I moved abroad when I was 20. So I worked overseas for nearly 10 years. And when I moved back, I fell very quickly back into the whole 9 till 5. And I'll be dead honest, I absolutely hated it. So I always had the urge to go and do something for myself. And I was watching other people around me do like jobs and events and starting businesses and events. And I was like, why don't I like start something for me? I was always the friend in our friendship group who did the baby showers. I was always the organizer, always the one who went extra for friends' birthdays, that sort of thing.
Right.
It was when like charcuterie boards and grazes had started becoming a little bit of a thing. And I'd done one for a friend's baby shower and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing like just little mini boards and doing them at like Christmas and birthdays. And that was literally how it started. So I started doing grazes for like 2 people, like little mini boards. And then now we do them up to 300 people.
Wow. So, yeah. That's going to be some board.
I was gonna see them.
It is.
You want to see them?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this,
guys. Oh, we've actually got one.
Look at that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at this. That is brilliant.
Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. White chocolate.
I'm glad there's some fruit in there.
And so, Jem, she took these to producer Molly's house.
Lucy, these are amazing.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Straight in with the white chocolate, Lucy. Mm.
Do you know, I was wondering if you were...
Claire's tucking in as well.
I was wondering, Gemma, if you were going to give me any lunch, but I have to say, this has surpassed my expectations. So.
Oh, wow.
Delicious.
So, yeah, so they're like literally just the mini boards we do. And then obviously the bigger ones now, we go up to like 300 people and they're massive that we do for weddings.
I have a friend like you. She's called Laura. She does the best Buffy spreads, any birthdays. She, you know, I don't think she'd be able to recreate this. Has it always been a passion of yours, like just like hosting and creating things like this?
I love like going the extra mile for people. And I think like I'm a foodie anyway. So that's kind of how it started. And then I loved like people's reactions and just like making an event that little bit more special. Then I created like an Instagram account and decided to take the plunge like 6 months in. I was like, if I am going to make this something, I'm going to have to leave my 9 till 5. But it wasn't quite at the point where I could have left fully. Yeah. So I went and got some part-time jobs. So I've just worked in a pub. I got a job at a wedding venue just behind the bar just to like tick me over because we still had things like bills and mortgages pay and things like that. And then 18 months in, I quit both of them and just kind of went for it fully.
Lots of people, when they do start a side hustle, they don't put a value on their time. And they might think, oh, well, I can do this and I can make some money. But they don't think, actually, it's taken me 4 hours where I could have been doing something else, even if that something else is relaxing, because we all need downtime. And often with side hustles, you know, you run ragged, aren't you? Like trying to satisfy all of the commitments that you've said yes to. And the other mistake people often make is not keeping the finances separate, because if you've got your own bank account and all the money coming in from your bookings and going out for your expenditure, you know, buying all the raw materials that you need to make these amazing boards with, it can be quite hard to see, am I actually making a profit from this? If I did do it as my main hustle, would it pay the bills or would it just cover the costs of making the boards? Presumably you had some kind of system for working all of that out that gave you the confidence to gradually quit.
Yeah, I think for me, when I started, like, I look at what I charged for them boards at the time, and like exactly like you've just said, I was literally breaking even. But I opened a business bank quite quickly, so I could monitor my profit and loss.
Excellent.
So I did that from the offset, so I could see what I was making. And I'll be dead honest, probably to be fair, for the first 12 months, I was either running at a slight loss or I was just breaking even with it. But I had to do that to build my profile up, build my customer trust up, build my brand up. And it was at that point, 18 months in, I decided to go UK-wide with the weddings. And I'm so glad I took that 12, 18 months building it up, because by that point, I'd got that presence on social media. I'd built my brand up and I'd got that trust. And that's become vital with where I then took the business. Mm. But like I say, for 18 months, I had to work. I can remember being in the bar job on a Friday, sneaking the toilet to reply back to DMs.
Wow.
It has been a juggling act, but it's taught me a lot along the way.
So the most profitable things for you would be weddings, maybe corporate events.
Yeah, definitely. I think because with weddings as well, it's a talking point, isn't it? When you're at a wedding, you go, who did that cheese board? Give us your social media page, we'll share it.
I've got Oh So Sweet Grazing and Events, and I've also recently started my second business on the back of Oh So Sweet, which is called My Planner by Oh So Sweet.
So your side hustle has begetted another side hustle.
You've got thrice hustles.
A thrice hustle. I've never heard anyone say that before. Copyright it immediately.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lucy.
My pleasure. Honestly, thank you so much for having me.
No, we really appreciate it. And good luck with it all.
Good luck.
It's The Overshare with me, Gemma Atkinson. We're celebrating those wonderful side hustles in this episode. Now, as you know, there's plenty of ways to get in touch with our pod to get your story on. Here's a voice note none of us expected. Listen to how Annie, who's 27, has turned her side hustle into a very well-paid paycheck.
So it started back in 2019 when I was scrolling on TikTok and I was working a job where I was earning about $60,000 Australian dollars a year. I was still living at home and I was desperate to move out and to buy my own house. And then one day I was scrolling on TikTok and I saw this girl pop up who was talking about how much money she was earning on a platform called OnlyFans. And I was like, what's OnlyFans? So I did some research and obviously found out that it was an explicit website. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Like, what a great opportunity. Like, go get that bag, girl. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if I could ever do that. And I thought about it for ages and I was super insecure at the time and I really cared what everyone thought about me. And because I went to an all-girls private Catholic school in Melbourne, one of the most like elite schools in Melbourne, the social circles there are quite small, even though I was, you know, 6 years out of school or 5 years out of school at that point. Everyone knows each other and like gossip spreads like wildfire. So I was so scared. And I just thought, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it. So I started an account and the first month I made about $9,000, which was just insane money to me because obviously, yeah, I'd been earning about 4,000 Australian dollars per month. And within 3 months, you know, I had a savings of about $30,000. I did kind of say to myself, you know, it's probably only a matter of time before my work finds out about the OnlyFans. Like there's only so long you can keep it a secret for. It was a ticking time bomb, but by that point I just didn't care. And then the next day, the second I got home, I received an email from my boss and it was titled Termination. And I was like, what? So I scrolled down and there was a screenshot of my OnlyFans on the email. I never thought I would say that I would be relieved to be fired, but I was so relieved. Felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. It felt like the universe was telling me this is what I'm meant to do. I decided to put 120% into my OnlyFans and do that full time. And in the first month of doing it full time, I made $40,000. So now I own 3 properties. I'm about to buy my 4th and then I'm going to buy my dream home. Things have worked out exactly how I've wanted them to and I've been super lucky. But yeah, I guess that's sort of how my OnlyFans went from just a side hustle where I was saving, you know, $2,000 to $7,000 per month to put towards a house to now earning, you know, over $200,000 a month. So, yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a side hustle for a lot of people now, isn't it? OnlyFans.
Yes. I say this with a slightly heavy
Are you on
heart.
It? Is that why you went, yes?
No.
You imagine?
I'm not on OnlyFans.
You do Lorraine in the morning and then go and take pictures.
If only that were the case. I'm being very honest with you here because this is the Overshare podcast.
If my
stepdaughter was doing this, I'd have a blue fit. I'd
really?
Say, what are you doing? You know, it's wonderful that she can make so much money and hopefully be financially independent from choosing this way of life. But it's like anything, isn't it? There's going to be a time limit on mm-hmm. how much she's able to make the big bucks from this.
My thing with OnlyFans, I mean, back in the day, I did Zoo, FHM, Maxim. I had a fantastic career as they called them a glamour model. Mm. I never showed full boob, yeah. nothing like that. And I think my mum would have said she would have drawn the line there. But
are you glad that you didn't?
Yes. I think because I did it before social media, before all of that, I always had my agent present with me. We had a contract in place. We had professional photographers. Mm. It was a professional shoot. It wasn't, and it was in a magazine bought by people, and I got paid very well for it. It wasn't a case of I had to actively find people who would buy these pictures. And my only fear with OnlyFans is that, I mean, people can get stuff online for free, can't they?
Yeah.
It doesn't. So these people are subscribing because they particularly like what this person is posting. But my fear for it is if they get bored, say, for example, back in the day, I refused to do full nude at the top. If my employer had turned around to me and said, well, we're not just going to not pay you anymore. What do I do? Mm-hmm. You're in a position. If in Annie's case, these subscribers say we want full nudity or we're not subscribing, then what does she do? She's faced with a decision. And if that's solely her only income, and if she refuses to do that, they all stop subscribing. She's no income. Those pictures are out forever. And I know that any future employee, the first thing they do is look at your social media. If you were employing someone to work for your company, you look at the social media, you look at what they're doing in their private time, and they could see that. So that for me would be the downside.
And of course, all of the men who've been looking at it, it's not on their CV. No one's going to think the worst of them.
Yeah, that would be the downside for me is the safety aspect of...
Will it limit what you can do
afterwards.
In the future afterwards? There are a lot of young girls who are growing up who can see that people are making money from this and other forms of being an influencer, say, on social media. I mean, apparently being an influencer is the number one career aspiration of most school leavers in the UK.
I read
in a newspaper article a while ago.
Yeah.
And it's just not realistic for everyone to be able to make money out of these things. It's not realistic for everybody who goes on OnlyFans to be able to make an income of, you know, however much it is, £7,500 a month that she's making, or £100,000 a year. People might think, oh, you know, I could go and do that. I bet there's loads of people who are doing it who aren't making anywhere near like that amount of money. So it's not a given that this is a side hustle that could work out for you. And, you know, you need to think very, very carefully about why you're going into this, what you hope to get out of it, what your own personal boundaries are, as you say. And if people are just deciding on their own to do this, because with technology nowadays, you know, it's great. You can start up a business from your smartphone, you know, in a suburban bedroom somewhere. But on the other hand, have you got somebody that you can trust who is giving you credible advice and guidance? Are you a vulnerable person who should really not be doing this?
And if you're making a lot of money, obviously you still have to
declare it all. There's not an OnlyFans exemption at HMRC.
No.
And I mean, if anything, they're becoming more alive, the tax authorities, to ways that people are making money through different side hustles. She will need to be paying tax and declaring this income. If she hasn't got one already, I would seriously think about getting an accountant. I mean, maybe even doing a business plan. It might sound very odd for somebody to say, well, have you got a business plan for your OnlyFans side hustle? But you've also got to think about, like, well, what else am I doing? Because, you know, am I still going to be on OnlyFans when I'm 50? Should I set up a pension? Again, you might think, what?
I think as long as there's guys out there, they will be. So our next guest on the Overshare, this is Sam, who through an awful accident has a now international business. It's into its 11th year. So this business is thriving. Sam, Congratulations, first of all, on your business. Tell us, first of all, what your business is and how you got to it.
So my business is basically a rugby kit. Well, sportswear, but mainly rugby. SRG Elite. It kind of started when I was a young lad, really, just designing as a boy, designing Man United kits, Eric Cantona shirts and stuff like that. Mm. And then as I grew up, I kind of stopped doing it. And then I had a serious rugby injury where I dislocated my knee, ripped all the ligaments and then snapped my kneecap in half as well. Ooh. So I was, I was pretty low and I was laying in bed in a full leg cast from ankle to hip, very bored, just not being able to do anything. And then I just started designing and learning Photoshop. And I designed a rugby shirt, a charity rugby shirt for my local club, and then literally gave it to a company and they produced it and made money off of it.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, there might be something in this. So, and it's kind of snowballed from there, really.
So you're an example of turning something that happened to you, which could have sent you spiraling another way, to hang on a minute. I can't physically play rugby at the minute, but I can still have an involvement with a skill that I'm learning and I can turn it into an income.
Yeah.
I vividly remember my dad saying to me, you need to get a job. And I just remember feeling so passionate about it because I wasn't very academic at school. Never really found my groove in any roles or any jobs. And then I found this. And it's that famous saying that if you love what you do for work, you won't work a day in your life. And I don't feel like I've worked for 11 years because I just love it.
That's brilliant. And do you have a team of people working for you now? Or is it just yourself?
Mate.
It's just you still?
Yeah. We did have an office and we did have staff during COVID. Obviously, we lost all of that. So that was a really tough time, struggling with money and stuff, of course, because our main income was rugby, which is close contact sport. And they were one of the last team, they're the last sports to go back in from COVID. So we probably had a real tough 2 years during COVID. But the problem was, is because the way COVID hit was mid-season. So even when we returned to playing rugby, a lot of clubs were getting sponsors saying, look, you've only used your shirts for half a year. So we want you to carry on using those for the new season. So it was like,
oh, no.
2-3 years until we really got back into the swing of things.
What does someone do, Claire, in that situation? If they have a business that is booming and then it's kind of taken a low ebb, obviously Sam managed to keep going, keep afloat, and it's paid off because now it's happening again.
Obviously, during COVID, exceptional times, and the government came up with exceptional measures to help save businesses. There was furlough, obviously, for paying employees. There were the bounce back loans. I don't know if you've got one of those, Sam.
Yes,
presumably you're still paying that back.
Still paying that, yeah.
Like many businesses.
What's the bounce back loan? What was that?
It was a special government loan that you could get very quickly without all that many checks. But of course, that money has got to be paid back with interest still. So lots of small businesses are having to pay that back at a time when, you know, lots of other overheads, as you say, are going up. You know, the cost of employing people, for one, that's all going to go up in April with changes that the new government has made to try and recoup some of that money that was spent during COVID. But I mean, Sam, obviously you've come through tough times as a business owner. I mean, we often talk about the upside of running your own business, being your own boss, and the freedom of having a side hustle. But I mean, obviously, with freedom comes responsibility, would you say?
I have no problem saying that I've had a lot of mental health issues over the years during COVID. The problem I didn't have was I didn't have any answers. So if I probably would have dealt with it better if it was like, if I know this is just for 6 months, just to get through it for 6 months. Yeah. But it was like endless. It was like another lockdown. Right, we're not bringing rugby back until this. And then that was put back. And so you're thinking, I don't know when my next order is going to come through the door. We've got some fantastic clients. Like we've got a certain team in America. And he literally emailed me saying, look, what can we do to help you?
Wow.
Don't know this guy. I've never met this guy before, but he'd been with me for years. And he's like, can we order some stuff early? Can we do some, I don't know, leisure wear stuff? To be fair, a lot of the clients were fantastic in that regard. So yeah, they really got me through. Obviously the bounce back loan helped as well. But like you say, we're still paying that off now.
And how is business now though? Obviously rugby, it's just kicked off. Do you say kicked off in rugby? I don't know. I just think they fit many throw away.
Literally kicked off.
I just watch it for the thighs, Sam, not the actual game. But is it doing okay now?
Yeah, fantastic. So we're fully back on in line now where we were in 2019. So we recorded our best year last year.
Lots of people who are going to be listening or watching this podcast might have dreams of turning their own side hustle into a business. I mean, you've done it. What advice would you give people?
Just don't listen to the naysayers. Like my dad, I love my dad to bits. He's full of great advice. But that's the one time I went against him, because I knew he said, go and get a job. You need to go and get... And I just knew this was my calling.
And that could have been an easier path for you financially.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have given you as much joy and satisfaction.
No, the thing that I love, like, for example, in the Dubai Sevens, you turn around the corner and you see somebody wearing your kit. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Kids, like, we've got teams that have got 600, 700 kids. And you see all these pictures of them loving rugby in your kit. It's just the best feeling in the world.
And what's your company called, or what's the kit called?
SRG Elite. Yeah, we've done Royal Marines kits. We've done England wheelchair kits, England deaf team. So, yeah, it's proper international brand now.
That is amazing, Sam. Congratulations. I feel like
well done.
Lord, yeah. Oh, Sam, thank you so much for coming on the Overshare. You're proof that if you keep on going...
Just keep going, yeah. Just keep little steps, just keep going, moving forward.
Work with the suppliers.
Definitely.
Get one on your team.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye.
So our next guest, this is a first for the Overshare. We've never had two guests on at once. It's an Overshare duo. Say hi to Sarah and Rocco. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you both?
How are you?
You okay?
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start with you. This is a great example of perfect timing, isn't it? Because you quit your own business to get involved in your son's business. Is that right?
Kind of. During COVID, I've got my own travel business, and the start of COVID, as you can imagine, just went piling down. Business was going before my very eyes, as were most businesses.
Yeah.
And our son, Rocco, always loved to cook. He started cooking for the local community, decided he wanted to start making dough balls to the local community. And as time went on during COVID, we started to sell the dough balls and realised quite quickly that it was actually a really good startup business. So we ended up doing artisan fairs, charity events, whilst I was also looking after my travel business and the forever changing, travel requirements. I was finding myself standing next to my 10-year-old at the time in an apron, serving out fresh dough balls to clients who a year before or even 6 months before were booking Dubai with me. Huh. So it's just gone from strength to strength. We bought my pizza oven 4 years ago, and the rest is history. Started up his own pizza takeaway a year ago, and he does it during school holidays and weekends. So I am now a sous chef stroke travel agent.
That's amazing, Rocco, that you've had that passion and drive to do something. Because most lads your age, they're not working, they're not starting businesses. I wasn't at 14. What made you want to get into that?
I really enjoy making pizzas. I also enjoy making money.
With Rocco earning his own money at a young age, what would be the wisest thing to do with it? Because obviously the excitement's there, isn't it? You're getting money. What would your advice be so that money can make more money and not just be spent?
Well, before I dispense any advice, can I dispense some congratulations both to you, Rocco, but also to your mum? Because I think that for young people to learn the value of money, there's no better way than earning some money, because you know how hard you've had to work to earn that pound or 10 pounds or 100 pounds or whatever it is that you've made. You're learning about the cost of ingredients. How much money are you making from this? Can you share any figures with us?
When I usually do it for a couple, maybe 2-3 hours of work a day, I'll make probably around £120 profit.
Wow.
Impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Now, may I ask a slightly delicate question, which your mum may know the answer to. Are you paying tax?
No, we don't pay tax.
You're not earning enough. Every UK adult can make £1,000 doing any kind of side hustle they like. It's called a digital trading allowance, HMRC calls it, because so many of these sorts of businesses are online. So you can make £1,000. You don't have to pay any tax. I should point out, if you're selling secondhand clothes, that doesn't count as trading. That's just selling something you've got. There was this big kerfuffle a year ago because people thought that you were going to be reported for selling clothes and making a profit online.
And if you're
buying things to sell, then yeah, that's trading. If you're just selling stuff that doesn't fit you anymore, that's in the back of your wardrobe, that's different. But what Rocco is doing, you know, it is a business. If you've got income of more than £12,500 per year, that's the point at which you start to pay income tax. So it always should be in the back of your mind if you are starting a side hustle, because your side hustle might work on paper and then all of a sudden actually I'm making enough money from this to actually have to pay tax. Now all of a sudden the sums don't add up. Lots of side hustles go wrong because people don't realize money coming in, money coming out. Am I actually making any cash here? You know the value of your own time, because obviously you've got to do schoolwork during term time, during the holiday time, the time is your own. But you're also putting some money aside from this side hustle. And it might be that, you know, when you're older, you could use that as capital to start another bigger business. Go and work in the trade, you know, go and work in the food industry, because you've got all of this knowledge and skill that you've been building up, which is valuable too.
What's your Instagram account, Rocco? Give it a shout. Like you say, it's word of mouth. There's a lot of people listening now. So what is it if they want to order pizzas from you?
On Instagram, ChefRocco10.
ChefRocco10. Rocco, well done with it all and good luck. Genuinely, I think it's great what you've done, and kudos to you as well, Sarah, for raising him so
like man
to do what he wants to do, and I hope it turns into an
entrepreneur of the future.
Yeah, a big success for you.
Thank you.
Well, what another enlightening, positive, inspiring episode. I think it's brilliant, the guests we've had on. Thank you to all of them. And if you're inspired to take your hobby or side hustle to the next level following this, then you need to let me know. You could be on series 3. Say, my hustle came from series 2. Thank you so much to you, Claire. Just a quick one before you go. If you are doing a side hustle, we know it's not OnlyFans, what would it be?
Well, I have many side hustles. So, well, you could say that, you know, I'm a writer for my job, for a newspaper. Yeah. You know, I have side hustles of doing podcasts, TV. Yes, I may have mentioned that I've written
your book. But aside from like the world of media and stuff, like for me, it would be dog walking. Yeah. Like my side hustle, anything would dog walking, I'd dog groom, dog sit, I'd do anything with dogs.
I'd love to be a blue badge guide around London. Okay. I'm one of those people who says, oh, do you know that church over there is from the 16th century? I love local history, the history of London, very, very into that. The other big hobby that I have, bird watching.
Oh, okay,
nice. Is my big hobby. It's quite difficult to make money out of bird watching, but if there were a way, you know, guided tours of the Hackney Downs, who knows?
Please remember to subscribe to our Overshare so you don't miss out on any of our episodes. And if you could leave us a review, we'd really, really appreciate it. The Overshare is produced by Matt Foister and Molly Carter for Bauer Media. So thank you to both of you. We shall return in the next episode soon. Thank you for downloading and we'll see you all soon, hustlers.
People saying, oh, Claire's on OnlyFans, people are going to assume you know that you are
topless on all fours.
Which, believe me, would never happen in a million years.
Doing finances.
I don't think anyone would want to pay for it.
Finance on all fours with Claire Barrett. Can you imagine?